The life of a Christian is a life of hope. It's a life of hope for peace. When we think about the kingdom of God, which is in the here and now, or when we think about the heavenly palace, which is eternity, we hope for peace in this world and the next. For many people, their daily life, they hope for peace because peace is so far away from their daily knowing. For many, the unsettled life is where peace of mind and peace of life is lacking the momentum to feel any kind of happiness, because their heart and their soul, their being, is full of turmoil and hurt. So what do most of us do? We fake being happy. I am good at it. I can really put on a smile and look all happy, but inside there is a war brewing and there is no peace. I've had to do that to survive. In fact, sometimes my own self. Well, how are you doing? Well, I'm doing fine, thank you. That's what we always say, right? I'm doing fine. No problem, I'm fine. If we only told them the truth. You know why we don't tell them the truth? Because we told them the real truth, that no, things aren't so fine inside of me, that person would run off like a scared puppy. Because if we said we weren't fine, that person would have to decide, do I really want to hear their story? Because in fact, if I say I'm fine, everything's good, then we can go on our merry way. Sometimes I will risk with a person when they ask me if I'm fine. If I know them well enough, I will say, no, I'm not really. Sometimes I say it, the person hurries off. Because you see, we all want peace within ourselves. We all want to feel happy. Disney is a myth. Like I have told many a woman in therapy, sometimes when you kiss a frog, they stay a frog. Oh, for peace. Peace in our soul. Peace in our heart. Peace in our homes. Peace in the church. I was thinking about so many churches. They're gathered this morning and there is not any peace in the church. One group sitting on one side, one group sitting on another side, and one group sitting on another side, and one group sitting on another side, just to show you that I'm not pulling any way. And one side doesn't like the other side doesn't like the other, and they come and they praise Jesus, and then they start fighting. It goes on all the time. There is no peace in God's house for many to stay. Thank God there is peace in this one. When we look at the psychology of individual peace, surprisingly, Jesus is silent. When he talks about peace, he usually uses the word peace in terms of unity, bringing people together. And once he uses peace as to be silent. But to the peace, the psychology of peace, that deals with our hurting of heart and life, he's absent. He's silent. He's absent on the question. David, though, was the bringer of peace. But again, it was a sense of unity, not a psychology of peace, but a unity of peace, the same thing Jesus talks about. Because he was come to unite the northern and the southern kingdom. David uses violence to bring about peace. In antiquity, the weapon has been the means to achieve peace. David used sword and arrow. Our revolutionary brothers and sisters used swords and guns. Our fathers and mothers of the greatest generation, as Tom Brokaw calls it, use the atomic bomb. In present day, we use blockades of food and supplies to try to starve people out. We use treaties. And yes, sometimes, again, the sword. David was the king of the southern kingdom, Judah. Hebron was the capital. And up north was Jerusalem, and just at the southern tip, Israel, and just at the southern tip of Israel was Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was ruled by the last of the clan of the Canaanites, Jebusites. And they decided that they wanted to unite the northern and southern kingdom. So they said to David, well, we're really kin. We're flesh and bone of one another. So if we're family, let's unite. Let's be one kingdom. Let's let Jerusalem be the capital, the city of David. So David does. He unites the kingdom. Saul was a king, but he was a terrible king. Mainly because he had too many manic episodes. If we could cut down on his manic episodes, he might have been all right. We couldn't do that. So he and David were always kind of at each other. Saul one day to David, one day to Saul. But they knew David was really the head. He was a good warrior. He was a good shepherd, after all. David was then to be the shepherd, not only of the southern kingdom, but the northern kingdom. But David, as the good shepherd, was no little Bo Peep, let me tell you, because he used the sword. In the passage of David that we looked at a few minutes ago, he defeated the Jebusites in Jerusalem. And we all know that he was a genius when it comes to military. So what does he decide to do? Well, he decides to go up the water shaft, which is vertical, which makes it an interesting way to get into a city, to go up the well. It's easier to fall down when you go up one, but that's the way he chose. So he's literally, David and his platoon comes out of the ground, out of the well, and he surprises the Jebusites and he defeats them. And he tells his men at one point, just slice their heads. Don't leave any of them. And David takes Jerusalem. Verse 2b of our reading from 2 Samuel says it clearly, that God's desire was for David to be the shepherd. Our good God is a God of violence. God used violence to shepherd in God's will for the United Kingdom. No, I don't mean England. I don't mean that United Kingdom. I mean this one, Jerusalem, bringing together the capital city of Judah and Israel. And then God used violence again for our salvation, in fact, with the crucifixion of Jesus. Ironically, Jesus says at one point that he comes to bear sword, not peace. Do not think I have come to bring peace or bring unity to the earth. I have come to bring not peace, but the sword, Jesus says. What was Matthew after there? Well, Matthew was after trying to get his people to see that he was writing to, that there has to be unity within families. Because there were Christians in families, and then there were people in the family who weren't Christians, and they weren't getting along so well, as many families do when some of the family is Christian and some aren't. So this family division that Matthew is writing about has Jesus say these words to try to bring them together, to bring families together. Because what causes family division? Arguments and fights, disowning family members, all kinds of things divide families. And what Christ wants is for families to come together. Unity and peace. But it was Jesus' death by the sword that was metaphorically the cross, or the metaphorical sword was the cross. God used the violence of the cross to bring peace. The peace that is our salvation. The peace that's brought forth by wheat and grain. Symbolically, Jesus' death. While we come today, wheat and grain. Peace comes in the form of what we call communion. It is through this symbolic act that we say that Jesus is our Lord. Jesus does bring peace to us. Jesus does unite us with our God. The peace of our salvation is the assurance that we are not trapped. We're not trapped in the bondage of our sin, but we're free people. We are free because of the wheat and the grain, the body. Fruit of the Spirit is peace. The wheat and the grape, transformed into the body of Christ, broken and shed for us. So as we take the elements this morning, let the peace of Christ fill our minds, fill our souls, fill our hearts. Because this, the wheat and the grape, is for you, my brothers and sisters. God does not desire bondage of sin. God desires peace. And peace comes through Jesus Christ.